You would open up your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 16. So, good to see you here. You know, it gave us a title, it's called His Battle.
Battle.
In John chapter 16 and verse 27 is a very wonderful verse. It says, "For the Father," I'll let you get there.
Please do.
Ready? Good. "For the Father himself," what?
"Loveth you."
Yeah, "for the Father himself loveth you. Because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God." That's Jesus Christ. The Father himself loveth you. What a revelation that God, the creator of the heaven and earth, loves us. I love this verse because it's a very clear declaration of God's love for us. Isn't that awesome? I think so. I looked up a word. I don't think it's a biblical word, but it's just been on my heart. I was sharing this with John Siglio. Little duck. Little big duck, really. And I looked up the word "bask." And the word "bask" has a few different definitions, but one that I really love is to lie in or be exposed to a pleasant warmth.
Bask.
To lie in or be exposed to a pleasant warmth. Ain't that nice?
Yeah.
We ought to bask in the love that God has for us. Today, I'd like to share a little on battles, on conflicts, or struggles that we encounter, and what our perspective ought to be when facing these battles, these conflicts, these struggles. The trump of the Lord has not yet sounded. I think we're still here, right? So until then, guess what? We're going to have battles. We're going to have to deal with them. And the great way to deal with them is to have the right perspective. What we do with our minds, our hearts, and our souls will determine the outcome when faced with adversity. So I'd like to start with a love perspective. So turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, the first epistle of John, in the back of your Bible.
James and John. Peter and John.
1 John chapter 3. You know what my teaching is? Just listen to the manifestations and believe it. Is it? In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath," what? "That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Yeah, it's kind of crazy to think of this reality that we're sons or daughters of God. It's kind of wacky for our little human minds. But the sense of it is because of God's love. That's why you're God's son. That's why you're God's daughter. That's why you're an heir of God. That's why you're a joint heir with Christ. Because of love. Not because of you. Not because you're cool sneakers. But because of God's love. Behold, and the word "behold" means to look at, to the end of perceiving. We are to look at God's love to the degree that we perceive it. We get it. And the only way you're going to look at it is in the Word. That's the only way you're going to see God's love. You ain't going to see it from the bus driver. Maybe if he's born again of God's Spirit and knows what. So we're to look at, to the end of perceiving. That's that word "behold." The manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I have the audacity to say that I'm a son of God, and I'm right because of God's love. Isn't that awesome? Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not.
Yeah. The more we look at the love the Father has had toward us, and still does, the greater our trust and confidence in Him will grow. 1 John chapter 4. Next chapter. In verse 18, it says something really wonderful. It says, there is no fear in what?
Love.
There is no fear in love. But perfect love or mature love casteth out fear. Perfect love or mature love casteth out fear. Because fear has what?
Torment.
He that feareth is not made perfect or mature in love. The more we look at God's love, the more we embrace it and behold it, the more we will become mature in this love. And when we are mature in this love of God, the fear's got to go. The fear has got to go. That's right. Perfect love casteth out fear. I didn't love that. Yeah. So God loved us, and that's why we're His sons. And 1 Timothy chapter 2 is really something nice. It's really something nice. 1 Timothy chapter 2. The love perspective. And 1 Timothy chapter 2. And in verse 5, this is just awesome. So there is one God. How many gods are there?
One.
How many?
One.
And one mediator between God. How many mediators?
One.
How many?
One.
All right. And then the man, Christ Jesus. The man, Christ Jesus. That's right. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Verse 6, who gave himself a what?
Ransom.
He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus Christ became a ransom for us. You know, you got a hostage situation, you pay a ransom to get the hostages, right? Well, God's people were held hostage by the adversary, the devil. Yeah. And God paid a ransom for them. And that ransom was Jesus Christ. How about 1 Corinthians chapter 6? It took me everything my time not to say. Who's there?
What? Not going to go.
1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 20. Verse 20, it says, for ye, come on, y'all, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 20, it says, for ye are bought with a what?
Christ.
Therefore, glorify God in your body. The rest of that verse is not in the text. For ye are bought with a price, therefore, glorify God in your body. That price was Jesus Christ. God bought us, He redeemed us. He paid a ransom for us. And you don't pay a ransom for something that you don't want. Okay? You hear me?
Yeah.
That's right. God loves us. We read that in John. Okay? So God paid a ransom for us. He redeemed us. And that's really wonderful. How about Deuteronomy chapter 32? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. This is a little bit. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and in verse 9 it says, for the Lord's portion is his what?
people.
Yeah, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. God's people are his portion. Yeah, we're God's portion. How about that? God's portion. God created the heaven and the earth. There's a lot of cool stuff. There's a lot of cool stuff. And, you know, you look up in the sky, there's stars, there's moons. You look on earth, there's mountains and water and great landscapes and stuff and trees and animals and stuff. But out of all of it, you know what God gets out of it? You. You. You're God's portion. And God paid a ransom for us specifically, and that was Jesus Christ. So I guess we could conclude that God loves us, and we're his. We belong to God. Okay? You got that?
Yep.
Good. Let's move on. So that's the love perspective. You're God's. You belong to God. You're his kid. Is that nice to know?
Yeah.
Second Chronicles, chapter 20. It says, it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. A little background. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. And Israel at this time was separated. You had Israel in the north, 10 tribes. And in the south, you had Judah and Benjamin. And this guy, Jehoshaphat, was the king. Verse 2.
Really?
So, we've got a situation here. These Moabites and Ammonites and these others on the other side are coming up against them to battle. They're coming
the
to battle.
In.
Okay? Got that?
The phone in.
Verse 2. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon-Tamar, which is in Engedi. Verse 3. And Jehoshaphat did what?
Fear.
He feared. He was shook. He was scared. He was afraid. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek who?
The Lord.
And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Yeah. Verse 4. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. That's pretty wonderful. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, received this info that the Ammonites, the Moabites, and these other people were coming to battle. And he was afraid. But he did something really awesome. Really, really awesome. And you know what that was? He sought God. He sought God. And you know what he had all his people do? Seek God. What a response.
Look, sometimes we're afraid. What do? That's right. Seek God. Go to God. It's awesome. Yeah, how about verse 5? And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou who? In heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? This is a question with the answer already known. He knows the deal, of course. But I love his heart right before, it's honest. Hey, aren't you God? Oh, yeah. Verse 7. Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? Remember that? Verse 8. And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil cometh upon us as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our what? Then thou wilt hear and help. My friends, my brothers and sisters, when we go to God, when we seek God, when we pray, he will hear and he will help. He will hear and he will help. You got that? He will hear you. I don't know about you. I forget that sometimes. That he hears. You could tell when people pray. Sometimes he didn't hear you the seventh time. The 23rd time he'll hear you. No. He hears you, man, when you pray. He hears. Let me hear you say he hears. He hears. All right. Okay. See you all up in there. All right. Where was I? Yeah. Help me eyeballs. Oh, verse 10. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, those are those others, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. What you going to do with your eyes? What are you going to do? Where are your eyes? What are you paying attention to? What are you looking at? It needs to be God. That's what we got to do. We all have our little battles, our conflicts, our struggles. But where do our eyes turn? Do we start to just consider all the elements of what's wrong? Or do we turn our eyes to God? That is the key. I'm going to need a little more water. Yeah. Yeah, verse 13. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And this is so awesome. This guy gets revelation and says something. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and who? Thou King Jehoshaphat. You better have revelation. You start telling the king, pay attention to me. Thank you, Al. Yeah, you better have some revelation. And now, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not what? Great. Nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. It was a great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but whose? And that's got to be our perspective, people. When we face things in our lives, it's got to be about God. And you know why it's God's battle? Because you're his portion. You're his portion. Better yet, you're God's son. And a lot of you in here are parents. And you adore your children. Even the worst of you. You adore them. You adore them. And you might get up in your child's face and say something. And I'm tired of yourself or whatever. Do your homework. I don't know. That was me. But do your homework. But with all the love that you have towards your children, you don't compare to God for us. God paid a ransom for you. And that ransom wasn't just some Joe Schmo. It was Jesus Christ. A little perfect, no? Nothing? Yeah. That's the perspective that we have to have, that we ought to have. That our situation, our battle, our conflict is God's. It's God's. Yeah, where am I? Verse 16. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand you still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them. For the Lord will be where? For the Lord will be where? Is the Lord with you? It's God and Christ in you everywhere you go. All the time. All the time, Patrick. All the time. Isn't that awesome? That's the reality. So we got to check in and go, all right, it's a little situation. Ammonites coming to the job. Take the eyes, put them on God. Yeah. Where else am I going? Good. Whew. Where's Johnny? Oh, thank you, Johnny. I love you. You're so kind. Yeah. Verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They're going to get their sing on. Verse 20. Sorry, Milagros. They're going to sing. Verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall you be established. Believe his prophets. So shall you what? Prophet. Say what? Prophet. That's what I'm talking about. Verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endured forever. His mercy endured forever. Yeah. I love this mercy word. I love this mercy word, because if we don't believe that God has forgiven us, we'll have a hard time believing that he's for us and he fights for us and it's his battle. I'm a stinker. No, you're a son of God. Yeah. You heard in the manifestations that God made us righteous. Yeah. Verse 22. And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. So that's what happened to them. You'll see later, they just get destroyed, those people. Yeah. So the battle is always the Lord's. And the reason why is because you're God's portion. He cares about you. You're the apple of God's eye. You're God's best. Usted es lo mejor de Dios. That's right. How about Hebrews chapter 13? Whose battle is it? That's right. In Hebrews 13. Johnny?
Oh, wow.
Boy, I can't count. In Hebrews 13, verse 5. This is great. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he, God, hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Yeah. God ain't leaving us, man. And the adversary, what he tries to do to us is to get us to think that he has. But God will never leave you nor forsake you. We don't need to fear. We can be bold. Yeah, I wrote a song about it. Yeah. How about we turn to, oh yeah, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I love this. So we ought to just enjoy the reality that we're loved of God. That's not me. That's not me. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And it says, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I love verse 6. There's so much in it. In verse 6, it says, be careful or anxious or mentally distracted for nothing, but in everything by what? Prayer. And supplication. And a supplication is a specific request. If you got a battle, you need to supplify. I don't know if that's a word. Sorry. You need to make a specific request, Milagros. You need to supplicate. Yeah, with supplication, with thanksgiving. And this is a big deal. Because thanksgiving, in order to be thankful for something, you got to do something. And it's called remember. You got to remember, which is to actively consider. It's to bring to the forefront of your mind something that's occurred. In order to be thankful, you got to remember what God has done for you. And far too often, if you read in God's word, the children of Israel got in a lot of trouble because they did not remember. They forgot. They forgot. You know, you ever heard the story of David and Goliath? Anyone? Okay, good. Well, David and Goliath is an interesting one. David's perception was that the battle was the Lord's and that God would deliver him because he remembered how God delivered him when he had a lamb taken by a lion and a bear, and he whooped them. And so his perspective was, lion, bear, Goliath, God. Okay, you lose. You understand? Yeah, I was going to get to that, but that's a whole thing. Romans 8, almost done here. Romans 8. And in verse 31, it says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, what? Yeah. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? So in 1 John chapter 3, we'll go back there to close. And in verse 1 it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. So my friends, my brethren, my family, the beloved of God you are, let's bask in God's wonderful love and allow his love to dispel all the fear in our lives. In the light of his word, his perfect word, to dispel any darkness in our lives. And know that whatever battle, conflict, fight, or struggle that we come to or encounter, that the battle is not yours. It's whose? That's right. And he fights for us, and he will deliver us.